السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O those who have iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He is addressing the believers, you and I. And Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that wherever in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins a verse with these words, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then a believer should pay special attention to this verse. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is directly addressing you and I. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us. And by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse has also indicated towards a very great gift which He has bestowed you and I with. And that is the gift of iman. This gift is so great that if a person was to leave this world with this iman intact, then surely one day he will enter into Jannah. And once he enters into Jannah, then forever and ever he will remain in Jannah. The world hereafter is never going to come to an end. It is going to remain forever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that after the people of Jannah have all entered into Jannah and the people of Jahannam have all entered into Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth a ram or an animal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instruct the angels to slaughter this animal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the people of Jannah as well as the people of Jahannam, do you recognize what this animal is? Now, because each and every one of us will have passed through the phase of death, we will recognize this animal, that this is not an animal, this is death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given death the form of this animal so that we can recognize what is happening. So we will all reply that, yes, we know what this is. This is death. So the angel will be instructed that slaughter death. In other words, from today, there is no more dying now. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the people of Jahannam, the amount of grief that they will experience on this occasion is indescribable, because they will know that now we are never going to die. We are never going to die. We will have to continue experiencing the punishment of Jahannam forever and ever and ever. يَأْتِيكُمُ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. The Quran says that such will be the punishment of Jahannam, that it will be as if death is coming to them from all directions. If in this world they had to experience just a slight amount of that punishment, instantly they would die. But in Jahannam, they will be experiencing this punishment over and over again, but they will not die. And they will request. They will make request upon request upon request. That, oh Allah, give us another chance. Either send us back into the world so that we can do good deeds, or give us death, because we cannot take this punishment anymore. It's too severe. رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ. First of all, the people of Jahannam, those who did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will request Allah ta'ala at the time of death. This is the first very severe moment, the time of death, when a person's soul is going to be extracted. Now, if we lived our life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at the time of death, this will be a moment of great happiness for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut." That death is a gift for a believer. Death is a gift for a believer. Al-mautu jasrun yusilul habib ila al-habib. This death is a bridge where the lover is able to meet with his beloved. So if we have lived our life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and we have made our beloved Allah, then we will be looking forward to death. We will be looking forward to that moment, that when can I meet with my Allah? This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." This world is a prison for a believer. So when you are in prison, you are waiting for that day when you can be released from prison. So when a mu'min leaves this world, he's being released from prison. So this is not a moment to be sad, this is a moment to be happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his final moments. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam enters that blessed room in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting his blessed head in the lap of Sayyiduna Aisha radiallahu anha. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his eyes and his gaze was fixed upon the miswak which was in the hands of my brother Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr. He was very weak, very frail, he couldn't speak in his final moments. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that I understood that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking at the miswak of Abu Bakr because of Abdul Rahman, because he wants to use the miswak. Why? Because in this worldly life, whenever he would meet with his Allah. And when would he meet with his Allah? In Salah. In Salah, we converse with Allah, we speak with Allah. Al-Musalli yunaji Rabbahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the person who performs Salah, he is talking with Allah Ta'ala. When we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah Ta'ala replies and says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah Ta'ala replies and says, Majjadani Abdi. Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala replies, Athna Alayhi Abdi. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Allah Ta'ala replies that in this ayah, half is for my servant and half is for me. Wali abdi ma sa'ala, and I will give my servant whatever he asks for. So now we have an opportunity in Salah that whatever we ask for, Allah Ta'ala is saying, I am going to give it to you. But Allah Ta'ala knew that if I leave this opportunity to my servant, somebody will ask for a car, somebody will ask for a house, somebody will ask for £100. Allah Ta'ala knows these people, they're going to ask for small things. So Allah Ta'ala himself then teaches us the dua, that now make this dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That, oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says that in this dua, we are asking Allah Ta'ala for all the good things of this world and all the good things of the akhirah. Nothing is left out. So in namaz we converse with Allah. In namaz we meet with Allah Ta'ala. When we are performing salah, we are standing in the court of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is so kind that He calls us in His court 5 times a day. There is no king in the world who will invite you to his palace 5 times a day. But the king of all kings invites us to his house 5 times a day, but even then we turn our face away. He is telling us, come to my palace, ask from me and I will give you whatever you want. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before performing salah, he would clean his mouth with the miswak. So these were his final moments. When he is going to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah and in the hereafter. So most definitely he will want to use the miswak before he leaves the world. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that I told Abdul Rahman, my brother, that give me the miswak. And I chewed the miswak and made it soft, and thereafter I placed the miswak into the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the miswak. Let us also make this intention that from now on, we will also make a habit of using the miswak. Because the ulama have mentioned more than 70 benefits of using the miswak. And the greatest benefit is tazkiru shahadatay indal maut. That person who has a habit of using the miswak at the time of death, he will be able to read the kalima. So if there was no other benefit, this one benefit is sufficient. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the miswak. And thereafter, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam entered that blessed room, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam said that with me is also an angel by the name of Ismail. And this angel has come with another 70,000 angels. And I also have with me Malakul Maut, the angel of death. And O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ عَدَبِيٍّ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا عَلَىٰ عَدَبِيٍّ بَعْدَكَ. The angel of death has never asked for permission to enter a house before this and will never ask for permission after this. This is the first time the angel of death is asking permission that can I enter this house? So if you give permission, then the angel of death will enter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. So the angel of death asked that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to extract your soul. If you grant me permission, then I will extract your soul. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked towards Jibreel. The muhaddithin mentioned this was mashwara. In everything we do mashwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did mashwara here also. That, oh Jibreel, you give me mashwara, what shall I do? Shall I say yes or shall I say no? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your maqam and your status is even more greater than me. Jibreel alayhi salam is Sayyidul Malaika, the leader of all the angels. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyidul Bashar, the leader of all the humans. So you have the humans and you have the angels. But فرشتوں سے بہتر ہے انسان بننا مگر اس میں ہوتی ہے محنت زیادہ. It's better to be a human than to be an angel, but to become a human which is better than an angel requires more effort. Because angels, they can't do anything wrong. Angels, they can only do good. So if a human, despite having the ability to do wrong, if he was to control himself and do good deeds, his maqam and status will go higher than the angels also. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us this. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first wahi, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam pressed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest three times. So the muhaddithin mention that the reason for this was is Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, he transferred all of the spirituality which was within himself into Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the age of 40, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first wahi, the first five verses of Surah Alaq, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam status and Jibreel alayhi salam status was the same. Just imagine a human being reaching that level of spirituality. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strived and carried out mujahada for 23 years. And every time you exert effort, every time you make a sacrifice for deen, your spirituality increases. So just imagine in those 23 years how much Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's spirituality must have increased and how far he must have surpassed Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this manifested on the night of Mi'raj. That on the night of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi salam, they both reach Sidratul Muntaha. Then Sidratul Muntaha pe jab pahunche Nabi, sar jhuka kar ke Jibreel kehne lage, ab siwa aapke e habib e khuda, aage jayega jo bhi wo jal jayega. So on Sidratul Muntaha we find out that now Jibreel cannot go here, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can, which means that his maqam and status is even greater than Jibreel. And on one occasion, a Jew, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Jewish scholar. And he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have a question for you. The question is that on this land, which places are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on informed us that أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The most beloved places to Allah are the masajid. But on that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know the answer to this question. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will tell you later on when Jibreel alayhi salam comes down and informs me of the answer. Because this is how the knowledge of deen has reached us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never say anything from his own self. He would only inform us of that which was revealed to him by Allah via Jibreel. So the next time Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Oh Jibreel, I have a question. Go to Allah, find the answer and come back." So when Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam descended from the heavens, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam said that, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before telling you the answer, I have something else to tell you. And that is that on this occasion, the closeness which Allah Ta'ala afforded me, He has never afforded me that closeness before. Right from the time of Adam alayhi salam until now, for all the prophets, I have been going up and down with messages. This was the time when I came the closest to Allah." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Oh Jibreel, how close to Allah did you get?" So Jibreel alayhi salam replied that there were only 70,000 veils between me and Allah. So the closest Jibreel alayhi salam reached Allah Ta'ala was there were 70,000 veils between him and Allah. And on the night of Mi'raj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that how close did you reach Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "There was not a single veil between me and Allah." And he was asked, "Did you see Allah?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, I saw Allah with my own eyes." So this was the maqam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. What was I talking about? So Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, when he came back down, before giving the answer, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "The closeness that I reached Allah Ta'ala on this occasion, I have never reached this closeness before." So the Muhaddithin mentioned that what was the reason for this? Why is it that this time Allah Ta'ala gave him such closeness? So the reason was that on this occasion, Jibreel alayhi salam went to Allah Ta'ala with a question from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala said that, "Oh Jibreel, today you're not the normal Jibreel. Today you've come to me with a message from my beloved." So just as in the world, when somebody comes with a parcel, he's just a messenger, he's just the postman. But they've come with a message or they've come with a gift from your beloved, so you'll give them extra treatment. So this extra treatment was because you've come with a message from my beloved today. So this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Jibreel, he looked towards Jibreel, Mashwara, that what shall we do? Angel of death is asking that, do I extract your soul or do I not extract your soul? So Jibreel alayhi salam said that, "I cannot tell you what to do, But to make your decision easy, let me just tell you one thing. Inna rabbaka ishtaqa ila liqa'ik. Your Rabb is anticipating your arrival. Your Allah is waiting for you that when is Muhammad going to come to me? If you and I can also live our life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah, then this time of death will be a moment of enjoyment for us. Then we will enjoy dying. This is why the Sahaba, they experienced more enjoyment in dying than you and I experience in living. When Bilal radiallahu anhu was in his final moments, he was saying, Watarabah, Watarabah. He was saying that, oh, glad tidings, oh, happiness. So his wife said, you're dying and you're happy? People are very scared and very fearful when they are dying and you are extremely happy. So Bilal radiallahu anhu said, غَدَنْ نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةَ وَحِزْبَهُ. Why should I not be happy? As soon as I leave this world, I will be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel alayhi salam said this, that your Allah is waiting for your arrival, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this dua, that Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wa alhiqni bir rafiqil a'la. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, and make me reach Ar-Rafiqul A'la. So Ar-Rafiqul A'la has different meanings. One meaning is Ar-Rafiqul A'la means Allah Ta'ala Himself. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to tell me that, oh Aisha, when a Nabi is in his final moments, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him this choice out of honor. And thereafter the Nabi chooses that does he want to remain in the world or does he want to leave the world. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that I understood that my Habib and my beloved has now made the choice that he wants to leave. And in this way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. So this is how a believer leaves the world. But the disbeliever, at the time of death, he will be begging Allah and he will be saying, رَبِّ رُجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, send me back into the world. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, so that I may carry out good deeds. But on that occasion, Allah Ta'ala will say, كَلَّا. Now there's no second chance. The grave, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حُفْرَةٌ مِّنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ. Allah Ta'ala makes this grave a ditch from the ditches of Jahannam for those who disobeyed him. And if you obey Allah Ta'ala, then rawdatum min riyadil jannah, a garden from the gardens of paradise. And then on the day of Qiyamah, if you obeyed Allah, then sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluh. Allah Ta'ala will grant you shade under his arsh, under his throne. But if you disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place you under the sun, which will be just 1 mile above your head. And people will be sweating in accordance to the sins they committed. And on that day, people will say, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na farji'na na'mal salihan inna muqinun. Oh Allah, now we've seen everything with our eyes. Now we know there's akhirah, there's jannah, there's jahannam. So give us one more chance. But there will be no chance. And then after the people go into Jahannam, or rather even before going into Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala says that وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. If only you were to see that scene when people are standing on the border of Jahannam, about to be entered into Jahannam. They will be saying, Ya laytana nuraddu. Oh Allah, give us one more chance. Send us back into the world. And after going into Jahannam, Rabbana, first of all, they will go to the angels, the 19 angels. Alayha tis'ata ashar. And they will say to these 19 angels that give us a chance. Go and speak with Allah Ta'ala. Ud'u rabbakum yukhaffif anna yawman min al-azab. Go and say to Allah that He just lightens the punishment for one day. So the angels would reply and say, أَوَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُلُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Didn't the prophets and thereafter the inheritors of the prophets, the anbiya, the ulama, did they not come and tell you about what's right and what's wrong? So they will say, Bala, definitely. We had many messages. Many people used to inform us that do right, do stay away from sin, obey Allah Ta'ala, practice upon the deen. But we didn't listen. So the angels will reply that, فَدْعُوا وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Then you yourselves make dua to Allah, but remember today Allah is not going to listen to you. When these 19 angels will not listen, they will go to the leader of all the angels of Jahannam, whose name is Malik. And they will say, يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. O Malik, we are telling you that tell Allah to give us death. When they went to the 19 angels, they said that tell Allah to lighten the azab and punishment. Now they are saying, forget lightening the punishment, just give us death. Because we can't take this punishment anymore. So Malik's reply will be, innakum makithun. You're going to remain in Jahannam forever and ever. So now they will think, final try. Let's go and speak with Allah Himself. The angels are not listening. Malik is not even listening. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will have mercy on us. So they will say, رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِّينَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ. Oh Allah, take us out from Jahannam. Give us one final chance. Allama Suyuti Rahmatullahi Ali says that for 500 years, Allah Ta'ala will not even reply to them. This in itself will be azab and punishment. That Allah Ta'ala is not even giving us an answer. And thereafter when Allah Ta'ala will answer, Allah Ta'ala will say, اِقْسَأُوا فِيهَا. Remain disgraced in Jahannam. وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. And don't talk to me. This will be the end. So those who will leave this world without iman, then they will have to suffer in Jahannam forever and ever. Never ending. So I was supposed to discuss the whole ayah, but I will just conclude on this now. That this gift of iman, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, iman. How fortunate we are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this gift of iman, without which entry into Jannah is impossible. Impossible. And we haven't done anything to get this iman. There are people in the world who go through so many different valleys before finally they accept Islam. And they make so many sacrifices. They sacrifice their parents, they sacrifice their children, they sacrifice their job, they sacrifice their countries. You and I, the majority of us were born in a Muslim home. Allah Ta'ala gave us iman without any effort whatsoever. Without any effort. We have to now make sure that this iman remains intact until we breathe our last. And how do we do this? There are many ways we can make sure our iman remains intact. Number one is that from now we make a firm intention that we are not going to commit any sins. No guna. Because whenever you commit a sin, your iman becomes weaker. If you do a good deed, your iman becomes stronger. And if you commit a sin, the iman becomes weaker. So throughout our life, the iman is either getting stronger or weaker, which we don't realize. When will we realize? At the time of death. At the time of death, when shaitan tries to take this iman away from us. If we have lived our whole life sinning, and our iman is extremely weak, it will be very easy for shaitan to take this iman away from us. So this iman has to remain intact until we die. And for this we have to try and make it as strong as possible by doing as many good deeds as possible. So number one, we have to refrain from every disobedience of Allah and carry out as many good deeds as possible. And thereafter, number two is that we should refrain from wasting our time. This is called la ya'ni. So a mu'min and a believer, he has a goal that I have to try and attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, he will try and value every single moment of his life. Because once we breathe our last, now you can say subhanallah 1,000 times. It's not going to benefit you. There will be people in their graves right now who will be wishing that if only we were given one more second and we could say one more subhanallah. Subhanallah tamla'ul mizan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you say one subhanallah in this world, then the whole scale on the day of Qiyamah will be filled with the thawab and the reward of just one subhanallah. And this pun on this scale, its size is such that if everything in the heavens and the earth were to be placed inside this pun, even then there will still be space in this pun. So just imagine how much reward you will get for saying subhanallah just once. This is why daily we should spend some time doing the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Because there is so much reward for this. So let us make this intention that inshallah, we are going to make this the objective and the goal of our life. That we will preserve our iman. And in order to preserve our iman, we will refrain from all types of sin and we will carry out as many good deeds as possible. And because as human beings, we will sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Kullu bani Adam khatta." Every son of Adam is a sinner. So humans will commit sins. Yes, we don't make an intention to sin. But when we slip, then straight away we do tawbah. Straight away we should repent. This is also a gift of Allah Ta'ala, which He has given you and I, the gift of tawbah. That every time you slip, you sincerely say that, "Oh Allah, I am ashamed of what I have done. Please forgive me. I will not commit this sin again in the future." And Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. It's like a person who is writing an essay. So you are writing, writing, writing. When you are writing, you don't make an intention to make a mistake. No student will say that I'm going to make a mistake on purpose. But you will make mistakes. So when you make a mistake and you know that I've made a mistake, what do? You erase that part and you start again. If you are typing, you delete and you start again. So tawbah is your delete button. Allah Ta'ala has given us all this delete button. So we don't make mistakes on purpose. But when we slip, and we make a mistake, straight away we use the delete button. And as soon as we will use the delete button, now there is no mistakes on our piece of paper. So when we'll present ourselves in the court of Allah Ta'ala, there will be no mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with us and He will grant us entry into Jannah. So ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah and wakunu ma'as-sadiqeen. O believers, all the people with iman, refrain from disobeying Allah Ta'ala and stay in the company of the righteous. So in here there's an indication that how do we bring deen into our life? To bring deen into your life, you have to spend time in a good environment and in the company of pious people. So this weekly Sunday program which takes place, in there we are encouraged to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So why are we encouraged to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala? Because وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Stay in the company of the pious. When you stay in the company of the pious, the effect of this will be that you will be able to refrain from sins. If you want to bring taqwa into your life, you have to adopt the company of the pious. Suhbate salih tura salih kunad. Sheikh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi would say that by adopting the company of the pious, you will also become pious. If you stay in the company of sinful people, you will also become sinful. There are 9 people and they all take drugs and you spend all your time with them. Sooner or later, you'll start taking drugs also. And there are another 9 people, all of them are sitting and praying Quran, and you just go and sit there. How long are you going to sit there and just look at them? After a bit, you'll think that they're all praying Quran, let me also pray Quran. Over here, everybody is listening to Bayan. So nobody's going to come here and start watching something on their phone or start playing games on their phone. No, it just doesn't match. So the people you spend time with, that's what you're going to do. So Allah Ta'ala, this is why mentions in the Quran that spend time in good company. Spend time in good company. I will end with one final point. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayh, who is known to be the founder of this work of Da'wah and Tabliq. So, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayh, initially Allah Ta'ala placed this thought in his mind that I am in this village of Mewat. And the people here, they have no inclination towards deen whatsoever. So how can I bring them close to deen? Allah Ta'ala placed this thought in his mind. Because Allah Ta'ala is going to preserve the deen. When Allah Ta'ala is going to preserve the deen, Allah Ta'ala places these thoughts in the minds of certain people. The doer is Allah, but the means Allah Ta'ala uses different humans. So Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he went to his Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And he said that, I want to bring the people into your company. So when they sit in your company, then your company has an effect on them and deen comes into their life. So he took some people. They went, they spent some time. But when they came back, again they were back in their normal ways. So he decided to open a maktab, or many maktabs, where they can, people can send their children to madrasa. But these people, because they were so engrossed in their world, nobody sent their children to madrasa also. So then Allah Ta'ala placed this thought in his mind, that take these people away from here, make them spend time inside the masjid for a certain number of days. Because they will be in a good environment, they will be in the company of other musallis, other ulama, other Muslims. This will have an effect on them. So this is when this work of jama'ah and da'wah and tabliq began. So Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi, in this way, he began to take people out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when the fikr of deen and the concern of deen came into their minds, when they returned home, they thought to themselves that we need to start working on our children from now. So those maktabs you are talking about, let's start those maktabs now. Now they wanted to send their children to maktabs. So even the work of maktabs began. So now they're sending their children to maktab, and the adults are going in the work of da'wah and tabligh. But when you go into the work of jama'ah, into the work of da'wah and tabligh, in here the shauk and the interest of practicing upon the deen is increased. This is created. This is why you will see when you go and spend 3 days, 10 days, 40 days, you have this zeal that I want to practice on deen. But what is the deen? This is not taught. For this you have to sit in the company of the ulama. So after you have this zeal, you will have to now spend time in the company of the ulama also. Either by attending courses, either by sitting in Dars-e Quran, Dars-e Hadith, in the bayanat of the ulama, where you can learn what is the deen. You will learn what is the deen. But Even after learning, even after knowing, for example, you learn by sitting in the gatherings of the ulama that 5 times salah is compulsory. You've learned this. So many people know this. But not everybody can practice. So one is knowing what to do, and one is knowing how to do it, bringing it into your life. How do you bring it into your life? This is where the mashaik come in, the kanka, the sheikhs. When you go into the company of the sheikh, when you spend time in the kanka, this is when the deen will actually come into your life. So there is a connection in these three. Madaris, which we call ta'aleem, which we call ulama. Then you have tabligh. And then you have tazkiyah, the kanka of the shuyukh and the mashayikh. So Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, that da'wah or tabligh mein tashweek hai. When you go into the work of da'wah and tabligh, you will get the shauk and the interest that I want to practice on deen. That's why you should go out, so you get the shauk and interest. Now you've got lots of shauk and lots of interest, but you don't know what to do and you don't know how to do it. So da'wah aur tabligh mein tashweek hai, aur ta'aleem mein aur madrasa mein ta'aleem hai. When you will go to madrasa or you will go in the company of the ulama, they will tell you what you need to do. The whole deen will be explained. The whole deen. The whole deen is not just ibadah. Some people have this misconception that namaz, fasting, hajj, zakat, bas, deen. No. Deen has 5 branches. Aqaid, ibadat, muamalat, muashara, and akhlaq. This you will have to learn by sitting in the company of the ulama. Da'wah mein tashweek hai. So you go into the work of da'wah and tabligh, you get the interest and the zeal to practice on deen. Now you also need to spend some time, whether it's once a week, whether it's twice a week, in the company of the ulama where you learn what is the deen. Now you know what deen is. But how are you going to bring this deen into your life now? So khanka mein takmeel hai. When you will go into the khanka and you will spend time in the company of a sheikh, this is when the completion will take place. This is when the whole deen will come into your life. So this is the connection between these 3 departments. The 3 departments are inseparable. If someone just attaches himself to 1 department and disattaches himself from the other 2 departments, the whole deen cannot come into his life. Because just having the zeal is not enough. Just having the knowledge is not enough. And over here, there's completion. But you're only going to go to the completion when the zeal is there and when the knowledge is there. So we need all 3. So let us make this intention that inshallah, we are going to make this firm intention that from now, we are going to try and bring this deen into our lives. And for this, daily make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Say that, oh Allah, you make the deen come into my life. I don't even know what deen is. I don't even know what I am supposed to do. Oh Allah, you open up all the avenues. When we will make dua, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will inshallah open up all the avenues for us. So inshallah, let us once again make intention that we will go out for as many days as possible. Brothers are requested to stand up. It's the month of Ramadan. Make your niyyah an intention.
جميل ان شاء الله. 40 days as soon as possible and 3 days weekend every month in shaa
Allah. Everyone make niyam, inshallah. And then make dua. Take in our ease up to Allah's hand, definitely. So we make niyam that, as Maulana explained us, first of all, we need to make niyam that I need to act upon this. And then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then take in our ease, make shirk in Allah's hand. So we need to at least, the niyam is there in everyone's heart. Every Muslim wants to act upon deen, every Muslim wants to go in Jannah, but there is not that, you know, thing. Next time, inshallah. So let's not listen to next, let's just make niyat and then make dua. It's not, once you make niyat, it's not compulsory that you have to go out of Islam. But when you make niyat, Allah makes your heart softer and then makes it easy for you to go out. And then every niyyah there is reward. Allah gives reward of every good deed as soon as you make niyyah. And it's written in your book of deed that this person's done this good deed. It's opposite with sin. If you do sin, until it's not completed, only then it's written. And then if you're, like Maulana said, if you realize I've done something wrong, and you say, Allah, please forgive me, I've done something wrong, that would be deleted as soon as possible. So everyone make niyat, inshallah, and Allah make it easy for us to act on whatever Allah said.
Allahumma lakal hamdu kama anta ahluh, fasalli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammadin kama anta ahluh, waf'al bina ma anta ahluh, fa innaka ahlut taqwa wa ahlul maghfirah. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم باعد بيننا وبينك اللهم باعد بيننا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء واغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم اجعلنا من أتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم أعتك رقابنا من النار اللهم أعتك رقابنا من النار اللهم إنا نسألك إخبات المخبتين وإخلاص الموقنين ومرافقة الأبرار واستحقاق حقائق الإيمان والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم ووجوب رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعلنا من خداب دينك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعلنا من الهادين المهتدين، غير خزايا ولا نداما ولا مفتونين، غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالقرآن، وزين أخلاقنا بالقرآن. اللهم زين قلوبنا بالقرآن، وزين أخلاقنا بالقرآن، وأدخلنا الجنة بالقرآن، ونجنا من النار بالقرآن. اللهم تقبل قيامنا وصيامنا وعبادتنا في شهر رمضان. اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا وعبادتنا في شهر رمضان. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك، وتحول عافيتك، وفجاءة نقمتك، وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء، ودرك الشقاء، وسوء القضاء، وشماتة الأعداء. أو أرحم الراحمين، forgive our sins. أو أرحم الراحمين، forgive the sins that we have committed in public. أو الله، forgive our sins that we have committed in privacy. أو الله، forgive all our major sins. أو الله، forgive all our minor sins. O Allah, forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of each and every ummati. O Allah, forgive the sins of the entire ummah. O Allah, give us the ability to live our life in accordance to your pleasure. O Allah, give us the ability to do those things which are right. O Allah, give us the ability to refrain from those things which are wrong. O Allah, give us the ability to prepare for the hereafter. O Allah, make us from your beloved servants. O Allah, give us the ability to live our life the way you want us to live our lives. O Allah, that time will be very severe when it will be the time of our death. O Allah, Malakul Maut will come to extract our soul. O Allah, at that time, there is nothing we'll be able to do. O Allah, before that time, give us the ability to live our life the way you want us to live our lives. O Allah, that time will be very severe when people will be giving us ghusl. O Allah, we will not be able to move to the right or to the left. O Allah, before that time, give us the ability to purify ourselves with the ghusl of tawbah and repentance. O Allah, that time will be very severe when people will be performing our janazah salah. O Allah, a salah in which there is no ruku and there is no sajda. O Allah, we'll be lying there and there is nothing we'll be able to do. O Allah, before that time, make us from those who perform all our salah. O Allah, make us from those who perform all our salah. O Allah, that time will be very severe when people will be lowering us into our graves. O Allah, they will lower us into our graves. They will put the sun and the soil over us. O Allah, there is nothing we'll be able to do at that time. O Allah, before that time comes, O Allah, give us the ability to live our life in accordance to your pleasure so that that grave becomes a garden from the gardens of paradise. O Allah, that time will be very severe when the angels will come in our grave and they will question us, then Mar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? And Wama Deenuk, what is your religion? And what do you say with regards to this person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? O Allah, before that time, make us steadfast on our deen so that we are steadfast when it comes to answering our questions in the grave. O Allah, the month of Ramadan is passing by, and until now, we know that we have not done what we should have done. O Allah, we have not valued these moments. O Allah, we ask for repentance. We know that we are very weak. We know that we are sinful. O Allah, we accept that our deficiencies are there. But O Allah, you forgive us. O Allah, you forgive us. O Allah, the remaining moments, O Allah, give us the ability to value every moment of the month of Ramadan. O Allah, accept our fasting. O Allah, accept our fasting in this blessed month. O Allah, accept our Tarawih Salah. Accept our recitation of the Quran. Accept whatever little ibadah we have been given the ability to do. And O Allah, give us the ability to carry out much more ibadah in the future. O Allah, make us from those that understand what the reality of this world is and what the reality of the Akhirah and the Hereafter is. And O Allah, give us the ability to spend our time in preparing for the Akhirah and in the Hereafter. O Allah, make us from those who live their life in such a way that they become your beloved, they become your lovers, and when they leave this world, they are leaving in a state that they are happy with you and you are happy with them. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْإِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ آمِينَ.